We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School today with the Bible question. Now, this is a controversial question. We're studying the Ten Commandments, and the question is, what is the second of the Ten Commandments? Now, do you remember that? I'm going to read it to you in just a moment, and then I'm going to explain why that is controversial. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now for that controversial question. What is the second of the Ten Commandments? Well, let me read this to you. We find them in Exodus chapter 20. Verses 1 through, well, I'm going to read not all of them. I'm going to read down through the second one. Beginning in verse 1, it says, And God spake all these words, saying, I am Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right, that's one. Then we read this. This is Exodus 20 and verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's one. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. There's two. Now, just so we can keep counting, the next one is, well, he says, Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah, am a zealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the third, and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then it says, Thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain. Well, the second one then is, Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. Did you know that was controversial? That was the second commandment? If you will look up the Ten Commandments according to the Roman Catholic Church, they do not include the second one. They say, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then they'll skip down to, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And they leave out the second one that says, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now, they still have ten, because when they get down to thou shalt not covet, they'll divide that one between thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So the tenth one, they divide in two and eliminate the second one, and that's how they get ten. But it says plainly, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. Now, I read that right there in the text. I suppose that if I was in some of the Catholic churches that I have visited and had looked around and seen all of the graven images that were in there, that I might not want to stand before any group gathered there and read, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. It would probably be sort of embarrassing. I wonder if that's why they took the second one out and divided the tenth one into two, so they could avoid that difficulty. But even if they don't count it among the ten, that's what the text says, isn't it? Let me read to you Elam's notes about these ten commandments, and we'll start with those first ones that deal with God. Now, they were on tables of stone. It says, God spake all these words to the people, face to face, in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. Moses standing between God and the people, and they were afraid because of the fire. All these words are the Ten Commandments. It's actually, if you translated that exactly, it would be the Ten Words. They were written on two tables of stone with the finger of God, Exodus 31:18. And Jehovah said unto Moses, "Come up to me in the mount, and there, and I will give thee the tables of stone, and the law, and the commandment which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Exodus 24:12. And then we read, Moses turned and went down from the mount with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, tables that were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written, and the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven on the tables. From these and other passages, we learn that these commandments are called the testimony, and the words of the covenant, and the Ten Commandments. You know, I think it's so interesting that this is the first scripture we have. It was not on parchment, and it was not on vellum. It was not written on papyrus. It was written on stone, and written by the very finger of God. Now, when God spoke those words, they were God's words. And when God wrote those words with his finger, they were still God's words when they were written. And when Moses read the words written with the finger of God, he was reading God's words. But you'll remember that those commandments were destroyed. And God called Moses back up the mountain and had Moses write those words. Now, he wrote the same words. And you know they were just as much the Word of God when Moses wrote them as they were when God wrote them. And so we see, when we have the Scripture given by God, even though it is written by man, the words they write are the words of God. This covenant, these Ten Commandments, was made in Horeb, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 2. The stones are called the two tables of the testimony and the tables of the covenant. These stones were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, Hebrews 9 and verse 4, or the chest made for that purpose. This is the covenant which God made with the children of Israel when he led them out of Egypt, which gave place to the new covenant which he made through Christ. Now that's Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 15. Or rather, that's Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 13. Let me read this to you. In Hebrews 8, "For finding fault with them, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and upon their heart I will also write them. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his fellow citizen, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. But that which is becoming old and waxeth aged is nigh unto vanishing away." Well, that's talking about the old commandments that was given on the mountain, and they're being now replaced under this new covenant that we have in the New Testament. All the moral principles of the Ten Commandments and all the commandments themselves, except the one regarding the Sabbath, have been incorporated into the new covenant. And hence are binding today, not because they were given on Mount Horeb, but because they came from Mount Zion, as the gospel was preached into all the world. It has been supposed that the commandments setting forth duties to God were written on one table of stone, and the commandments setting forth the duties of man were written on the other table. But we do not know this, since we do not know how the commandments were divided. The first and great commandment, says Jesus, is, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments the whole law hangeth. And the prophets, Matthew 22:37-40. When one loves God and men, he discharges his duties to God and men. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. And you find these two great commandments in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, and then in Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Well, God has the authority to make this commandment. He said, I am God, and God spake all these words, saying, I am Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That second verse is an introduction to the commandments. God bases his authority to make this covenant on the fact that he is Jehovah their God, as he said to Moses out of the burning bush, and on what he had done for them. He had brought them out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. He made them a race of free men and was ready to make a kingdom of priests and a holy nation for his own possession above all peoples. They were familiar with all these wonders he had performed in delivering them from the burning bush to the water which had lately gushed from the rock at Horeb. No idol or false god could have done these things. I want you to notice in the introduction, God identifies that he is the one giving these commandments. I am Jehovah thy God. But it also identifies to whom these commandments are being given. It's to those brought out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You see, these commandments were to keep the children of Israel separate from all the nations of the earth. If these commandments had been given to all of the world, Israel would not have been separate, would they? And so these are 10 commandments that God used in forming that covenant with Israel. Now, those 9 that are incorporated into the New Testament, at least in principle, under the gospel of Christ, they are for all the world, because he told the apostles to go preach the gospel to all the world. And that includes all the moral precepts of the 10 commandments. It just doesn't include the one that says, remember the Sabbath day, a day of rest. But the other ones are incorporated in the teachings of the New Testament. Now it says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is, beside me. The Israelites were familiar with the idolatry of the Egyptians and were influenced by it. So God makes it the first of the Decalogue that they shall have no other gods besides him. He is the creator of all things, man's maker, and the bountiful giver of all good, and is the only true and living God. Idolatry, in any form, is yet a great sin. We read in Colossians 3 and verse 5, that covetousness is idolatry. Matthew 6:24 says, No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now with that, we're going to end this class, and we'll look at the rest of this in our next class.